But I'm thankful for that song, thankful for the message of the song.
Amen.
Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. It is good to be in God's house.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, this morning we're going to study verses 10 through 16. We'll start with verse 9 though, just to kind of catch where we're at. And for those of you that haven't been with us, we've been studying through the book of Hebrews, verse by verse, and really this book is it's a church letter written to a church that's primarily made up of Jewish believers, and they're being challenged to understand that Jesus Christ is greater than everything. And they don't need to hold on to the Old Testament ways of worship. They don't need to hold on to the Old Testament sacrifices or any of those things. They need to understand that Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And they need to realize that everything they need is found in Christ. And they were being tempted to go back into Judaism. They were being tempted to continue in temple worship. They were being tempted to have one foot in Christianity and one foot in Jewish religion, if you will. And really, Jesus has fulfilled everything, and he is everything. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all those things. And so Hebrews was written to that church to say, listen, you need to come on out of all of that and come fully into faith and fellowship and service of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, you've got everything that you need.
Amen.
And what a great truth for us to understand today, that if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need. And so if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God today. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to pick up at verse 9, if you would please. Hebrews 13 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please let it convict our hearts today. If there's someone here in this service right now who's never been born again, they've never repented of their sin and unbelief, they've never trusted with all their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, I pray today would be the day they would repent and believe and cry out to you and receive the gift of everlasting life. And for all who are saved, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to humble ourselves before you each day, to realize each day what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross, and that your incredible love for us would compel us and energize us to go and do the work you've called us to do in your name and for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we want to learn that we have an altar. Verse 10 says, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." We have an altar. When we think about this, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is greater than everything. When you think about the tabernacle or the temple worship, we need to understand that Jesus is the great high priest. We need to understand that not only is he the great high priest, he is the sacrifice that was made. That all of those Old Testament sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and all of those things, all of that foreshadowed, all of that was a type or a picture of the one sacrifice that would come that wouldn't just cover sin, but he would take away the sin of mankind forever. We need to understand today that Jesus, he is the fulfillment of the priesthood. He is the great high priest. We need to understand that he is the fulfillment of the sacrifices. He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He is the ultimate sacrifice made once for all mankind, once and for all. We also need to understand that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and shadows, including that brazen altar that was there in the temple. He is both altar and sacrifice. He is both the altar that sanctifies the gift, and he himself is the gift. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift, ultimately, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 23:19, he said, "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift?" And it wasn't really about the gift. The altar, it sanctified the gift. It was the altar that made it clean. You could just kill an animal anywhere, anytime, but when the priest killed the sacrifice on the altar, that altar made that a sanctified, a holy thing because of the altar that it was sacrificed on. And Jesus said in John 17:19, when he prayed to the Father, he prayed for us. He said, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." And Jesus sanctifies himself because he is the altar. And he sanctifies himself because he is the sacrifice. Friends, these are great truths. This is good stuff today. You get it? Make sure we understand. Abraham. We see altars throughout the Old Testament, but Abraham built an altar between Bethel and Hai. Now, Bethel means the house of God, and Hai means a heap of ruins. And the altar was built in between those places in order to get from the ruin of being a man in sin to being a human being in our sinful condition. In order to get from where we are to where God is, to the house of God, we have to come through the altar. Isaac built an altar. And he says in Genesis 26, he built an altar and there he called upon the name of the Lord. Listen, the altar is our only way into the Holy of Holies. It's through the altar that a man could come into the presence of God. You had to come through the altar. It's through the altar that we pray. And aren't you thankful today you don't have to pray in any other name than in the name of Jesus Christ? By Christ, we have access to God. We can come boldly before his throne of grace because we come through Jesus Christ. It's that altar, that place that the name of the Lord was called upon. And there's no way for us to come into his presence but through the altar, which is Jesus Christ. Jacob built an altar when he was delivered from Esau. You remember Esau came with 450 men and he was coming that way. And Jacob was terrified. And after all that went down and Esau, they fell on one another's necks. They kissed each other. There was forgiveness. There was reconciliation. And Esau went his way. When all that happened, Jacob built an altar there. And can I remind you today that because of our altar, Jesus Christ, we have deliverance from our sin. We have deliverance from destruction because of our altar, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses built an altar, and this is interesting, in Exodus 17, Moses built an altar, and he gave it a name. He named the altar, "The Lord My Banner." The altar, he said, the altar is the Lord My Banner. And I think you can see the picture, friends, that Jesus Christ is the altar. Now, I know that there are a lot of people who have all kinds of different ideas about this. They take verse 10 and say that we ought to have an altar in the church, and they have all different kinds of things that they've tried to make this a physical altar. But I'm here to tell you today that we have no need for a physical altar. There's no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus is it. Now please don't misunderstand me. We call this bench up here. We call it a prayer altar. And some have questioned that. Should we even call that an altar? I really don't care what you call it, but this is a place to lay down your life before the Lord. The sacrifice for our sins has been made, but we've been called to give ourselves a living sacrifice to God. That's why we call it a prayer altar. We call it that because we want to come and lay down our lives for the Lord. But if that bothers you, you can call it a prayer bench if you want to. You can call it whatever you want to. But know this, that our altar is not some structure made with wood and covered with brass. Our altar is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On the Day of Atonement, you can study about it in detail in Leviticus chapter 16. Israel had to go by the way of the altar in order to come into the presence of God. In other words, when you came into the tabernacle and later when the temple was built, when you came into the outer courtyard, the first thing you saw right out there, big as day, in front of everything, was the altar. In other words, the first thing, there was the laver where you had to wash, and that was ceremonial cleansing, but what was right there that was prominent before everything else was the altar. And blood had to be shed on the altar before anything could take place in the holies. The holy place. And nothing could go into the veil. Nothing could go into the Holy of Holies that represented the throne room of God. Nothing could get into there until blood was shed on the altar. We need to understand that the altar was the way to get inside. The altar was the way to worship God. The altar was the way. Blood had to be shed in order for any worship of God to take place. Blood had to be shed before there could be any access to God. And as a matter of fact, the high priest in the old covenant, he had to kill a bullock to shed its blood to cover his own sin before he could stand in the place of the priest for the people. Before he could offer for the people's sins, he had to have an animal just to himself. But Jesus Christ needed no other sacrifice because he is the sacrifice, the perfect, sinless Son of God. So I want you to get all that background just to see all of the altars of the Old Testament and the brazen altar there in the tabernacle and later in the permanent temple, all of those things are to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the fulfillment of them all. Number one this morning, would you notice with me that we have an altar that is exclusive? In verse 10, he says, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. I want you to get this. If you would continue in the tabernacle worship, if you would say that we've got to have these sacrifices, if you would say we need the priest to slay the animals, we need the blood of bulls and bullocks, of goats and of sheep, we need that blood in order to worship God, then you have no part with Christ. In other words, you don't get to say, "I'm going to keep being a Jew and worship that way, and I'm going to follow Jesus." It doesn't work. And you can take this with any other religion today. I see so many people, they want to follow Jesus and something else. They want Jesus plus something else. And friends, you don't come to God that way. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Christ alone. Amen. So many people say, "Well, yeah, you got to believe, but then you have to do this and this and this and this." No, that's religion, and religion will get you straight to hell. Right. The only way you can come to God is through faith in Christ alone. You don't need Jesus plus anything. And by the way, how insulting do you think that is to God? God, who loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son. God, who sent Jesus and allowed him to shed his precious blood to cover our sins. What are you going to add to that? Amen. What could you possibly do to improve upon what God has done? Now listen, we live for God after we're saved. We live for him out of gratitude. We work for him because we are saved, not so that we can be saved. And there's a very, very important distinction there. See, I don't want anybody to take what I'm saying and say, "Oh, well, the preacher said you don't have to live for God." No. Of course that's not right. No, we live for God because of what Christ has done for us. We serve him, we love him, and we're going to get to that at the end of this passage today, but understand that this is an exclusive thing. It's not Jesus plus anything. Listen, the man who was raised Buddhist, who leaves the worship of Buddha to come and follow Christ, doesn't continue to worship Buddha too. The man who lives the Hinduism, or the man who leaves Islam, the man who leaves any other form of religion, any other form of worship, you don't keep worshiping that way. You leave it. And that's exactly what the Bible's telling us here. You don't keep on in the temple. That's not going to save you. You cannot partake of Christ if you're trusting in these sacrifices. You can't partake of Christ if you keep trusting in your religion. And the same thing's true for people today. And hear this, please. There's so many people right here in our community who are trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. I'm a good person. I've turned over a new leaf. I used to do bad things. Now I do good things. And they're trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. Friend, if you want to get to heaven, you better abandon your own good works and you better trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that the vast majority of people I talk to in this community who think they're going to heaven think they're going there because they're a good person. There aren't going to be any good people in heaven. They're going to be sinners saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. That's all that's going to be there. And all through the Bible, it warns us of declaring our own goodness. All through the Bible, it warns us of doing that which is right in our own eyes. And God says you need to abandon everything and come only through Christ. And people don't like this preaching today. They don't like the message of Christ. Guess what? They didn't like it in His day either. Jesus declared plainly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And the only way into heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's awfully judgmental. You think you're better than everybody else. You think all of this. And my answer to that is no. I know I'm not better. I know that Jesus is better. He's better than your religion. He's better than your good works. He's better than anything you can dream up. He is better than everything. He's greater than everything. And He is the only way to have eternal life. Only by Christ. Hebrews 13:9, we read just a moment ago, it says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." In other words, he says, listen, don't get messed up with strange doctrine and all that stuff, and don't trust in sacrifices. Now, meats, specifically referring to those sacrifices in the Old Testament, but really just encompassing the whole idea of that type of worship, he says, you're not going to be profited by that. That's not going to help you. You're not going to have eternal life by trusting in your sacrifices. He's saying it doesn't profit them. No, don't do that. Let your heart be established with grace. It's only by the grace of God that Christ came to die for. It's only by the grace of God that through faith we can have eternal life. It's the grace of God, the free gift that He offers us through Christ. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. And by the way, you guys, I know some of you like to take notes. I encourage note-taking. Write down a lot of these verses. You can go back and study them on your own. Also, it's harder to fall asleep if you're writing things down. John 6, 53 to 58 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." You see, Jesus is the altar. Jesus is the sacrifice. And you can't come and partake at the altar if you're trying to eat something else, if you're trying to trust in something else. They have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar whereof we can partake because we trust in Christ alone. Amen. It's an exclusive altar. And let me just add, so you people are offended by this truth. And they say, what about all those other religions? What about them? Listen, Buddha didn't die for anyone's sin except his own. Muhammad did not die for anyone's sin except for his own. Christ died for all mankind. He died for all. He paid the sin debt of all. You see, there's not even a glimmer of hope in anything in this world that would even try to point somebody to heaven. There is no hope outside of Christ. There must be a sacrifice for sin. And Christ was that sacrifice once and for all.
Amen.
It is exclusive, but dear friend, it is effective. Verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So here we have the picture of the offering for sin. The bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Now, there were lots of sacrifices in the Old Testament, lots of different types of offering. And the way that the priests lived was that they would get part of that meat that was offered. A portion of that was for them. The blood was shed, the blood was sprinkled, the fat and the other parts were burned on the altar, and then the good meat, some of that good meat was given to the priest to live by. But the sin offering was different. The priest did not eat or partake of the sin offering. And on the Day of Atonement, when the animals were slain, the blood was shed, the blood was sprinkled, and then parts of the animal were burned on the altar, the good parts, the choice parts that God wanted burned on the altar, but everything that was left over was taken outside of the camp to a clean place, and there it was burned. Leviticus 16 and verse 27 says, "And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung." And so what I'm trying to tell you is that the priests didn't get to eat of this sin offering. They didn't partake of it. They weren't worthy. This was a holy sacrifice, and it was completely consumed as a sacrifice. This is important for us to understand because Jesus was completely consumed for our sins. Jesus didn't hold anything back. And you see the picture here? It's a beautiful thing. They took the animal and they killed it out at the altar. And then the high priest brought the blood inside and he sprinkled it. Now, first he had to come in and sprinkle it outside the veil, and then he took another sacrifice and went inside the veil and sprinkled it on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, a picture of the covering of our sin. And the blood was brought into the Holy of Holies as an atonement for the sins of the people. And then the other part that was left over was taken outside the camp to a clean place, and it was burned, all of it. And friend, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, you remember just a couple of weeks ago we studied the resurrection. When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, he said, "Don't touch me, I haven't ascended to my Father." And then later that night, he invited all of those in the church. He said, "Come, touch, feel." What happened? Well, he took his blood and presented it in the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, but in heaven. And his blood was presented as a sacrifice, not one time for Israel, for the nation, for a year, but one time for all mankind forever. You see that?
Amen.
See, Leviticus 16, they had to do that sacrifice every year. Every year. Every year. Not to mention all the other sacrifice that went on in between that. But every year they had the Day of Atonement. And I'm telling you that Jesus fulfilled all those things when he shed his blood, and his blood was presented. But you'll notice that his body was slain outside the gate. He was taken outside of the gate. I want to tell you about outside the gate. See, you have the blood that was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest, and wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. His blood had to be presented in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God the Father. But then he says that those sacrifices were burned without the camp, and then it says Jesus also suffered without the gate. Well, what's the significance of outside of the gate? Well, let me tell you a little bit. It's the place where the leper had to dwell. You see, when someone had leprosy, they were considered unclean and they were sent outside the gate. Criminals were condemned and slain outside the gate. When someone was condemned as a criminal and they wanted to stone them to death, they didn't just stone them right in the middle of town. Because they were a criminal, because they were unclean, they drug them outside of the city walls and they threw them down outside. And there they stoned them to death, outside of the gate. Those that were defiled by some sin or some violation of the law, they were put outside of the gate. If you were declared ceremonially unclean for some reason, you were put outside of the gate. Listen, Israel under God's law was very clean, far more clean than even some people are today. And they didn't keep their refuse. They didn't keep their trash. They didn't keep their bodily waste, their filth. They didn't keep it inside. They put it outside of the gate. You see, Jesus Christ, He took all our filth, all of our defilement, all of our sin sickness. He took it on Himself outside of the gate. The Holy One of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Savior of the world. You see, He took on our sin. He took our humiliation. He took our shame. He took our sin and He took it on Himself and He suffered outside the gate. Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And friends, I want you to get it. Yeah, he was numbered with the transgressors. It's more than just that there was a thief on either side and he was there with them. It was more than that, because he became sin for us. All of the sin, all of the shame, all of the wickedness that all of mankind has had, he took that on himself, and that's why he had to suffer outside of the gate. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And the Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Friends, I'm talking about the sinless Son of God. I'm talking about the Creator of the universe. I'm talking about the incarnate Son of God. God in human flesh. The Holy One of Israel. The King of kings and Lord of lords. And He humbled Himself. He took on our shame. Listen, by being condemned and cast out of the city, He took on the shame of all mankind. And you can forget about the pictures, you can forget about the movies, you can forget about all that stuff that we get in our head. Jesus Christ was beaten so that his visage, his face was so marred he didn't even look like a man. He was beaten so badly and shed so much blood before he ever got to the cross that he couldn't even carry his own cross anymore. I'm telling you that when they nailed him to that old rugged cross and they hoisted him up there, he was bloody and beaten and naked, and he bore our shame. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood." You see, when he did that, he sanctified the people. When he did that, he covered, and not only covered, but took away our sin. When he did that, he became the payment, the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ did all of that so that he could sanctify to himself a people, so that he could cleanse a people, so he could set apart a people, so that he could bring us out of death and hell and condemnation and give us everlasting life. So that not only could he save us and set us apart unto sanctification to be alive in Christ, where we were once dead in trespasses and sins, now we're alive unto God, alive in Christ. Not dead in sin anymore, but dead to sin. And so not only to sanctify us and give us a place in heaven, but to sanctify us and change us, to help us become new creatures in Christ, to put off the old man and put on the new man. He wants us to be a new people. Amen. A peculiar people. He wants us to be different. Because if you are Christ, if you are saved, you are different. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. Now look, if you would please. It's not only exclusive and not only effective, but it's energizing. Look at verses 13 to 16 again. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You see, friends, we don't need a physical altar. We have Jesus Christ as our altar. And the sacrifice of praise is made on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good works that we do, those good works are done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we communicate, when we help those others who are in need, we do that in the name of Christ. So all the sacrifices of good works and praise and everything we might do after we're saved, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the altar that those things are placed upon so that God gets the glory and not ourselves. But look at it real quick, if you would please. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Jesus Christ was our reproach. He took our reproach upon himself. And those Jews were tempted to stay inside the temple and believe in Jesus, but keep doing this other stuff because that would alleviate some of the peer pressure and all those things. And here the Holy Spirit says, get out of the city. Get out of the temple. Get out of that thing and go all the way out there to Christ. Go to Calvary. He was ashamed and he was reproached and he was mocked of the people. You get right out there with him and bear his reproach. Suffer for the cause of Christ. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. We don't worship according to the ideas of man. We worship God. We be obedient to God. See, none of us, it's hard for us to get because none of us are trying to be at the temple every day because there is no temple. It's hard for us to get, but just imagine what it was like for these people. Their entire lives is built around the worship at the altar. Everything was about the altar. Everything was about the sacrifice. Everything was about the priest. Everything that was done in relation to God was done through that temple. And he's saying, get out of there and go outside the gate. Get out there with Jesus because with him, you don't need anything else. But I think the application could be made. Listen, we need to worship God by walking with Jesus, by being with Jesus, by bearing the shame and reproach of Jesus. And we need to stop following the vain traditions of men. This is not about what we've always done. It's not about what we think it should be, like. What it's about is what does God's Word say? And what did Jesus say? And how did he live? And we're to follow in his steps. And we can't explain things away by our own ideas and our own thinking. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you today is we need to get in the Word of God and see what it says and live by that. I'm going to tell you, you start living the way Christ intends for us to live, and it's going to live, and it's going to be different. You start living a holy and separated life and walking with Christ, you're going to be different. You're going to be different than your Christian friends. You quit watching some of the filth that's on TV and in the movies. You say, I don't watch that stuff anymore. People are going to think you're weird. You go around handing out these gospel tracts. People are going to think you're nuts. Did you get one of these? Your friends at work here, you start sharing the gospel, they're going to think something's wrong with you. I'm just trying to tell you that we need to go and bear the reproach of Christ. I'm following Jesus. I'm not following American religion. It's time for us to get out of the camp and bear Christ's reproach. Here's the reality in America today. Most of us, we don't even know what reproach is. But the worst it gets for us is somebody won't take a gospel tract. Thanks for taking that, by the way. About the worst it gets for us is we walk to somebody's door and say, hi, my name's Isaac. I'm from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And before you ever get to church, they've slammed the door in your face. That's about as bad as it gets for us. But you know, there are brothers and sisters in Christ right now around the world who are being tortured for the name of Christ. Places in the world today that missionaries are being burned alive and beheaded. You know, there are places in the world today where a pastor's children are being tortured in front of their father in unspeakable ways, trying to get that man to deny Christ. While those children being tortured are begging their father, "Daddy, please, please don't deny Jesus." You see, they're suffering the reproach. And we're scared to give somebody a gospel tract because they might make fun of us. We're scared to pray in public because somebody might look at us funny. Scared to get our Bible out at the lunchroom or on your lunch break and break your Bible out and read the Word of God in front of somebody because they'll think you're a weirdo. No, it's time to get out of the camp and suffer the reproach of Christ. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hey, you can get out of the camp, you can get out of the city, you can get out of the traditions, you can get out of the old way, you can get out of all that stuff because we're not living for something here. We're not living for a city here. We're not living for things here. We're not living for a place here. We've got a city that's coming. Come on, people. We seek one to come. I'm not living for here and now. There's a new Jerusalem coming down. There's a place that God is preparing for those who trust in Him. Jesus is even now preparing a place in His city, in His kingdom for you. And you don't have to live for now. You can live for then. You know why we get so messed up today? Because we're living for now. We're living for here. We're living for this. What we need to do is get our eyes and set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. We need to set our treasure, lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. We need to lay up treasure up there. Set our affection there. We have a city that's coming. Look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We have an altar. His name is Jesus. It's an effective altar because his sacrifice is once for all mankind. And now, we sacrifice what? We sacrifice praise. What does that mean? What's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name? I'm not sure that anybody in this room really knows anything about what a sacrifice of praise would be. You see, sacrifice indicates that you're giving something up. And I don't know that any of us have ever really had to give much up for Jesus. But I will say this, at the very base level, when your sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise, when you're giving thanks to his name, that means you give all glory to God. Amen. And you don't hold any of it back for yourself. You see, because we're carnal creatures. I want to tell you, I'm tempted. Do any of you ever feel proud of yourself because you came to church? Be honest. Me and Steve, just the two of us. I mean, you just kind of, maybe you wouldn't say it out loud. Maybe you don't even think that, but just kind of inside of you, you're like, man, I did good. I went to church. You look at all those other people that didn't go to church, and you're like, yeah, I did good. You know what? That's not a sacrifice of praise. This thing of a sacrifice, this thing of humility, that's hard for us because we're so good. And then about the time you figure out that you've got some humility, you just lost it. That was really humble of me. Brother Bob Spears used to joke all the time. He'd say, without a doubt, my single greatest spiritual gift is my great humility. Well, see, we have a hard time even praising God and not holding something back for ourselves. It's just something in us. We sing songs of praise to God and we think, man, I sound pretty good today. I mean, we've just got this problem, and that's what it is. It's giving it all to Jesus. And striving to get to a place where it's not about us at all, it's about Him. And here He says, do good and communicate it. It means to do good, and it means to communicate means to help other people to give. To give to the poor, to give to missionaries, to give to the Lord through the church, all of those things to communicate, to meet the needs of others. He says, don't forget those things because these are sacrifices that God is well pleased with. But even then, so many people give. They give to charities. Why? Because it makes them feel good. I mean, yeah, they care about the charity a little bit too, but they give because of the good feeling it gives them. That's not a sacrifice. And so we've got to get to a place where what we give, when we do it all in the name of Jesus for His glory. And we don't just say in Jesus' name like some little magic phrase. No, it's genuine. It's real. Listen, the Lord has been good to me, and I want to help you. So it's energizing. We think about what God's done for us. It causes us to want to go, and He says, it's time. It's time to get out of the camp and bear the reproach of Christ. It's time to stop living for now and start living for eternity. It's time to start praising God continually and giving the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. It's time to do good and to communicate in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give Him all the honor and praise and glory. This morning, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me, please. And as we stand and get ready for this invitation, I just want to ask you to look into your heart.